Welcome to episode 3 of Narrowboat Stories. I am delighted to have Louise and Dave with us from Narrowboat Changing Pace. Now, you may have seen them on their YouTube channel, or you may have seen them featured on our channel when Louise and Dave sent us a joke for Pub Tuesday. I see you two as the comedy duo of the narrowboat vlog world.
Not intentionally.
Well, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Oh, I cannot wait to find out your narrowboat story. So, shall we start right at the beginning and tell us when did you get your boat and had you been looking for a boat for a long time and was it something that you'd always wanted to do?
Before I met Dave, I asked the girls if they wanted to go on a narrowboat holiday and it was way too boring. They weren't interested. Dave and I got together and then you said, let's go on a holiday.
Go on then. Well, I'd never been on a boat, so it were, impress new girlfriend. Yeah, let's go for it. So
that was our first holiday together. Yeah, about 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Did a couple of holidays.
Fell in love with it.
Then we did look at buying a narrowboat.
And we went to see one down Oxford Way.
Yeah, it was a project.
Perfect layout. Right length for us. Thought this is the one. And then the guy who was selling it says, you can't move it. He says, why not? He says, if you move it, it'll sink.
Oh.
It's a rotten.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, that on the way back, we sort of like phoned various boatyards up and see if we could get it overplated and stuff like that. But
logistically, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, well,
Dave was moaning at work because he works obviously in Sheffield fabrication industry. And I said, well, we'll build you a boat. And so they did.
So we bought some plans from a company called Acorn Engineering in Manchester. And they built it shell to our spec.
Yeah, so I looked at the bow and I said, oh no, I want a hatch in the bow. They went, you don't have hatches in the bow. And I went, yeah, but I definitely want one. And so they just cut it out and made it for me. It was excellent. We just did some alterations to the plans.
Yeah, and that was it.
It was brought as a leisure boat, though.
Yeah, originally it was an holiday boat.
And then we kind of did it up as and when we can afford it being working class, you know, we don't have pots and pots of money. So we did it up as and when we could afford it.
Yeah, and then the company I work for, I got the shell outside. So I was working on it at night and that. And then they said, you're going to have to move boat, we're moving premises. And the new premises, there's no outside space. So I've got 12 weeks to get it
watertight,
engine in, BSC, and find a mooring and arrange to get it in water.
So we went in on the Chesterfield, had a bit of a hoo-ha with British Waterways at the time, but it did go in, but it went in much later than planned. And as we cruised off, the engine cut out.
No.
we got about 500 yards from where we'd had it craned in.
What lock was that?
Forest locks
on Chesterfield. You need written permission and planning permission, and then they crane it in.
So we sort of like ended up, because I don't know if you know the Chesterfield Canal, it's very, very shallow.
Yeah.
Very few mooring places. So we got it towards the edge. I jumped off and we ended up dragging it about half a mile
really?
Up the canal to somewhere where we could get it in the edge.
Yeah,
to fix the engine.
And then I replumbed the engine.
But we did actually go into Shire Oaks on the Chesterfield by torchlight, and that is a sharp 90-degree angle. And Dave had actually set the boat up so forward was backwards and backwards was forwards. And apparently We're all meant to get used to that.
Yeah.
So we were new to boating, new to our boat, and the levers were the wrong way, and we're steering off ollie opposite as well. So it was a bit.
So that was your first day of your new boat. Yeah. That was your first day. Well, that's an impressive first day, and well it, done.
It was fraught.
Yeah, it was fraught. But to be able to have a idea of like, let's build our own boat, and you know, right from that very first stage of plans and deciding what you want, I mean, that's a major undertaking.
Are you still in the same boat now?
Yes,
this you would never sell this boat.
This is my baby.
Yeah,
how long is it?
It's 50 foot, and I think knowing. With hindsight, we'd have probably made it 55, 57.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are things we would have done different, like the water tank. That's not correct. It's meant to do this, and ours is just a water tank. Yeah. So there are things that we would have done.
Yeah.
But he would never sell it. This is his boat.
The old water tank's under the front of the boat. And I would have put the water tank in the engine bay to be close to engine, utilize the water from the engine. So little things, but yeah, it's my baby. It's and I think Louisa's right. I would never sell it.
What, sorry, can I ask?
Go on.
So, Lester, because people like to know these things. What's the spec of the boat, as in like thickness of steel, top to bottom?
Just normal 10 mil base plate, six mil sides, or 4 mil top.
So just
been rolled in the corners or something. Yeah. We've not been fabricated this way. They've rolled the edges.
All the gunnels from the side from the sides from up to the gunnels, they're all bent in, so
it's stronger,
it gives it more strength, keeps it straighter. I mean, when we were looking for boats, we went in a lot of boat builders and been in trade, and I looked at how they welded stuff, and I thought,
don't like that.
And I knew the lads that work for the company that I work for. They were really good welders, so I knew that the shell would be bulletproof. We actually, outside work, we actually dropped the shell off two forklifts.
I don't think you meant to move a 16-ton narrowboat on forklift. Yeah.
And it bounced. And one of the forklift dropped down and smashed both back wheels off the forklift we had to pay for that.
Really? Bugger.
That was interesting. But yeah, the shell is bulletproof, and when we had it out earlier this year for blacking.
Which is in our blogs at the beginning.
Blogs, yeah.
We're really, really pleased with state at all. But before we had it put in water, we did have it shot blasted, two pipe primer on it and two pipe blacking and sprayed.
It's weight in gold. That primer stayed on.
That were absolutely money well spent.
And how old is it now? How old?
The shell's 14 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Decided to move on board
6 years ago.
I think I wasn't in a good place mentally, and I didn't want to be where I was physically either. And it was quite limited in what we could do. So I didn't want to move to another house. I didn't want to live on an estate. And so we decided to move on the boat permanently.
Yeah. So look, it were either keep the house or keep the boat.
Yeah.
So we said, we'll move on to a boat. Yeah. If we don't like it, we can always move back to an house. But I think after 6 years,
probably the best decision we've ever made. I mean, mentally, I mean, you know, okay, we're not rich in money, but we are rich in lifestyle. Because we've got giant breeds, it was a decision, a lifestyle choice that I wouldn't work because I am now a dog mummy.
So tell us about life on board with two giant dogs. Because a lot of people have pets on board. A lot of people, cats and dogs. And at our last marina, there was a lot of lovely, really small miniature breeds. You're right at the other end of the scale, aren't you? So tell us about life on board with two big dogs.
That was a consideration when we moved on board permanently. We had the dogs as a leisure boat. They were on this boat as a leisure boat. They were used to being on the boat. And they adapt, don't they? Dogs adapt. So basically, we have a 50-foot boat and we live in 35 foot.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a big argument between the dogs who's going to sleep in the shower. That's their bed. We don't tend to shower on the boat. We tend to shower in blocks when we find them, or we have to heave a dog out of the bedroom. And just patience, really. I mean, if there's a queue, I mean, the water bowl is in the kitchen, and that's the smallest corridor. And we just queue to go past. You know, we'll wait quite patiently till the dog stops drinking, and then we all saunter up the boat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when we had the dogs in the house, they were always in the same room as us, sleeping at his feet, and it's no different on the boat.
And also, it's an outdoor lifestyle. So generally, when we're cruising, somebody's walking a dog and somebody's steering the boat. Eva doesn't do it so much now. She won't walk so much now because she's older. But Willow will still go. But equally so, we don't have working breeds. Yeah. We have nice, low maintenance, you know, like to snuggle by the fire.
Yeah, excellent. Can I ask you about, I mean, obviously this year it's been different because we've had lockdown and everything's been strange, but normally do you come in off the cut in winter? Are you based in a marina? What's your setup? Do you do lots of cruising? How does it work for you?
Generally, last year was different because Dave pulled out the boat. He undid the boat, refoamed it all, and then did the boat again. So he's done the boat twice. So we have moved things about. We had it re-insulated 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
So we have been in the marina for a year, but generally we go cruising, we go to a place. So last time, not this year, but the year before, I think we wanted to go to the Black Country Living Museum, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's a long way to go, but it's lovely. So we just went down there. So we go out seasonally. And then we come in the winter. Yeah. But this year, because we want to do such a big
trip,
we're going to be out.
I think we're going to give up the mooring and go continuous cruising again, which we have done after the first 6 months when we moved onto the boat, we went continuous cruising.
Yeah.
And came back up to Sheffield at the winter time, and this mooring came up as a 3 months winter mooring.
Right.
So we took that on board because I work in Sheffield, so it were easier for me.
Less mud.
and then the mooring came up as a permanent mooring, which gave us the opportunity to use the mooring to rip the boat out and insulate it, because as we said, it was done as a holiday boat, so
and had rock wool.
The insulation was rock wool,
which is
all right as an holiday boat, but when you move on board, the condensation in the winter was terrible.
Yeah,
so it gave us that opportunity to rip the inside out.
Worth mentioning that we got in a bidding war when we were bidding for this mooring, so we paid more than it then it would normally cost.
Right. I've heard of these sort of bidding wars or auctions for mooring spots, and I've heard that they can go, you can end up paying a lot more than what the
you're paying £200 a year more than everybody else.
Yeah.
I think it worked out. It wasn't a great deal, but actually the people we ended up in a bidding war are now our neighbours, so you know, we give them the evil. No, we don't.
Oh, so what? So your plans next year are to go continually cruising. Have you got a destination or a canal in mind? Can you share it, or are you going to say?
Well, we're going to go northeast. Oh, yeah. Hang on, northwest.
Northeast,
southwest. So we're going. 2021 will be our diagonal season. Right. So we're going to go up to Ripon. We're going to get that photograph for the Silver Propeller. And then we're going to go down through Birmingham. I think there's a couple of events in Birmingham, particularly we want to do the
BCN Challenge.
Yeah, which is the Birmingham Canal Navigation Marathon. And
we've done it 3 times already. We haven't done it for a couple of years.
Yeah, we're rubbish at it.
But it's a great event, and we do love Birmingham, the canals in Birmingham. We absolutely
maybe pop to Cadbury and then down onto the Kennet and Avon down south. We've never been to.
Nice plan. I like it. So,
if you find a boat attached to you, it'll be us.
Well, you come and see us most definitely if you're passing, and you know the rules, just bring cake and you'll be very welcome. So that is fantastic. Have you got any questions?
No, there are some questions.
I was just going to
I was going to go for the questions. One of them you just answered,
Let's have a look. Dale, good morning to you all. Can you ask Louise and Dave their cruising plans, and are they coming south? Would love to see them go through London. So, it's fancy London. Do you fancy?
We are going to get the gold license.
Yeah, I've got the gold license, which allows you to go
rivers and
everything. We have had one before, but you can only have a gold license from January the 1st.
Right.
But that discount doesn't come into play everybody got.
So as license is due for renewal on January 1st, so we'll be upgrading
to the gold license. Maybe on the way back, I think.
To be honest, we haven't planned the route down onto the Kennet and Avon.
We don't know when we'll be allowed out to play.
So we don't know which way we're going to go. So we might end up going through London. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'd love to do London. I'd love to do the Wash. I'd love to do the Ribble Link.
Ooh.
All the Vikings. It tastes like...
I'm exactly... Dave, I don't know.
We got an engine to do the rivers and to do that power to push the boat. We had a propeller made to push the boat, so we could do the Wash.
Yes, we can do the Wash. It's just the going out to sea that's a little bit.
No, you don't. You don't. You go out and you beat yourself like a whale. What?
It makes me nervous. I have watched lots of, probably like you, lots of YouTubers who have done those things, and I watch it and I'm like terrified just watching it. So I'd be rubbish if we did that. We're not going to do that, are we? So anyway, let me just say a few hellos. To Martin and Keith, hello. And just in case Vina's watching, we'll say hello to Vina as well. So hi, Vina. Soul Boy Wayne, hi all. Sue, health is better, far better than wealth. That is absolutely true, Sue. I agree with that. Don't you? Yeah. You know, it's the lifestyle living on board. You know, is so, I feel, is really good for your health
and the community.
Yes, absolutely. Martin's got a great question. How is your boat heated?
Initially it's gas central heated. We have radiators, but we never have them on, really, not even in the winter. Maybe for the sharp you know, yeah, quick blast. But
it's a multi fuel stove.
And it was changing at the end, which is unfortunate.
With it being an holiday boat, I put central heating in.
Just in case
you have a
rainy day.
You know what our summers are like. and then when we moved on board, the central heating contributed to the condensation.
And cost.
So we squeezed a small log burner in.
I'd do that differently.
Yeah, that's one of the things we would do differently.
Put the stove in the middle.
The log burner is a godsend.
For Eva, she hates it.
She hates it. She has got a fur coat on all year, but
too hot for her.
And we do a lot of what we call wood wombling while we're out.
You're not allowed to do that.
All right, okay.
we don't pick up wood.
And we can get it.
We did get some free wood. The man was chopping it up, and I yelled it over at him. What are you doing with that? He went, "You can have it if you want." So I went, "Oh, great!" So we had to kind of trespass over a farmer's field and acquire the wood and lump it onto the roof. Yeah, so we did ask on that occasion.
Yes, we did.
Were you like wood ninjas going in undercover, like getting the wood and then
speaking? Mask on. Nobody knows who we are. They've never recognized us.
So just another couple of hellos. Christine says hello, Vina, as well, just in case she's watching. And Melanie, good morning all, happy Friday. So happy Friday indeed. Glenn, have you got any other questions?
Let me just try and think of any
he's going to think of a technical question.
So what's your setup ledger battery wise?
They're excellent
and they're holding.
Yes. We've just as we got back to the marina, we were losing about 20-25% of his battery power overnight. So I were a bit concerned. I had thought it was a fridge that were on high and running all the time that were draining the batteries, or the batteries were sort of like giving up the ghost.
Which they did.
So I took the first thing that I did when we got back, where I took them into the company that I bought them from, and they tested them for free. So we have So it's we have 5 ledger batteries, 104 amp hour Locust batteries.
They're lead acid,
They're sealed, but they are lead acid, but they are designed for multiple cycles, more than your normal ledger batteries.
Right.
And one had completely died. 2 were at 70%, 1 was at 90%, 1 was at 100%.
Oh,
how that works, I don't know.
No.
I have heard it. Sometimes that can be caused by the wiring configuration. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a very technical person who looked at our wiring, because most of the people that wire up ledger batteries wire them in sync. So you have a short hopper which hops from battery to battery. And what tends to happen is people put their charger onto one battery, and that battery seems to get more of the charge than some of the others at the other end. So his method of wiring them is each wire goes to a buzz bar, the plus and minus, and every wire's got to be the same length.
Yeah.
So that's meant to be the ultimate way of charging them, but it's really hard to do because obviously you've got to have room to do all those wires and buzz bars.
Yeah, and our setup, I've exactly the same advice, but our setup where our batteries are wouldn't allow us to do that, because there's just not enough room.
Yeah, you need a little bit of room, unfortunately, to do it, and because you have a lot of excess wire as well, because obviously the ones that are nearest the buzz bar are going to be long and have a lot of excess wire, whereas the one that's stretching out will be fine. But it does. The ideal thing is you have the buzz bar in the middle of this bank of batteries, so you have it in battery three, so the others are all stretching it to, and then you're back, then the length of your charging wires to your battery.
Yeah,
it's very complicated.
Ours isn't like that, but that's Glenn's aspiration. He wants his batteries like that.
But I must admit, I looked because the guy that told me about it and sent me the wiring diagram, the gauge of wiring, everything you need to use, just in the wire alone, it's about £150 just for the wire.
So wouldn't that be worth it if you're spending £500 per three new batteries every 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, no, he said, I get it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did they replace them, by the way?
No, they were just out. They were 2.5 year old. They were just out of warranty.
Oh,
so it cost me £510 for three new batteries.
Oh, while they're
in warranty.
Yeah.
But since then, we bought a new fridge as well. And since the system's all settled down,
we've
just gone 5 years without charging.
That's excellent.
So
that's only on the 12 volt. We're hooked up to the landline. We're on hookup,
but the new fridge and the lights and the water pumps,
they're all 12,
and we've gone 5 days without. I've had to put charger on. We were down to 55% this morning after 5 days.
Yeah,
so I'm really pleased with that. I'm really
pleased. We're ready to go when we're let out to play.
Yeah.
what fridge was it?
Shoreline.
Freezer in the top, or have you just got the larder fridge?
We have to have a freezer.
It's just a little freezer section at top.
Like a cube.
Yeah.
About 25 litres, I think.
Yeah, we went for the larder fridge, and I must admit, it's taken hardly any draw on it at all. Our water pump's much worse than the fridge. I've got to change the water pump next, because that's quite old, and it seems to be drawing a lot off the batteries when it cuts in. So have you got a normal, is it Jabasco water pump? Is it a new one?
No, the water pumps the original put that I put in 14 years ago.
How is it?
And touch wood, we haven't had any problems with that. We had problems with the shower because I was over enthusiastic and put an on return valve in the shower.
I'm not taking the blame for the shower.
And built it in behind the shower unit, and for one reason or another, it got blocked.
Don't be looking at me.
And had to rip the shower out and the wall and everything to get that out.
I blame Eva.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve, I think. That's
real. Can I just say a massive hello to Jack from Narrowboat Vlog of Vlogs.
Hey Jack.
Check out Jack's Narrowboat Vlog of Vlogs. It is a brilliant way to find out new narrowboat channels. There's absolutely loads on there, and Jack watches them all and then tells us, you know, which ones to watch. Absolutely fantastic resource.
I'm with you, ladies. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Of course he is.
It's like, and actually, Jack had asked a great question. What are the pros and cons of 12 volt appliances versus 240 volts?
I think they just take a lot less power, don't they? They just, for cruising, constantly cruising 12 volt. We had a 240 before, and it was, you can get really energy inefficient one, but it means you've got to have the inverter on all the time.
Oh, what, fridges?
So, yeah.
The difference is between
any 240 volt, you've got to have the inverter on to run anything. So the great thing is our inverter goes off overnight. I don't know about you. We turn it off overnight and our fridge just runs on. That's all that's running overnight is the fridge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for example, the two washing machines 240, and we run that when we're cruising.
You got a generator on board? Have you just got a really?
No. Go on.
We've got a 3 kilowatt inverter,
which will do it.
So we have two
thingies
on the engine.
Yeah, we have two alternators. So we have an alternator charging the leisure batteries, and a smaller alternator for the starter battery.
Yeah.
But when we're using the washing machine, we run the engine, and we normally do it when we're cruising. So
you just adapt your lifestyle, don't you? For example, if I was going to cook a roast dinner in the oven, because I've got a combi microwave, I would then cook the chicken when we're cruising.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It is. It's just that I'm forever charging my laptop whenever we're like, you know, we've got the
inverter. I'm Harry Phillips.
I'm like plugging in, so you do. So.
Hello. I can't even believe you've got a hairdryer.
Yeah,
we've got the generator on now, actually.
Yeah, hairdryer. I'll be able to wash my hair later and get the straighteners out. So hello, Gary. Hello, Narrowboat Girl. Narrowboat Mum. Hello. Any questions for Louise and Dave while they're with us? Then just let us know. Yeah, hopefully not too techy ones. I think we've
go into detail, don't they? It's like
all that
next to the knee bone.
I've got a question for you guys. Do you have a solar setup on your boat?
Oh, turn the table.
You've asked the question. There wasn't one on the boat at all. So on our old boat, we had a really, really small two panels, and we only had two ledge batteries in our old boat, and it seemed to work fine. On this one, I put 220 watt lamp panels up, and I've just bought a third one, and I've also but I'm going to rewire it all, because it just came with a cheap Chinese controller, and I managed to get hold of a Master Volt in controller, which apparently is the don of controllers. It's like an amazing bit of kit, and I'm upgrading all the wiring and putting the extra panel on. Obviously, the weather at the moment, we're not getting hardly anything out of them anyway, so we have got one, but I am going to improve it. But I've gone for smaller panels down the middle, because I still want to be able to walk on the wall, on the roof. I don't want to cover the roof with panels, just in case there's any emergency and I need to get on the roof.
We have panels at the front, and that is so when I'm out single handing, I can run on the roof. Yeah, don't run on the front.
No, we've still got two big channels down the side of the panels, which are the anti-slip stuff, so that we can sort of walk past the panels. There are only small ones. I didn't want to go mad with massive panels, really. So we've got a generator with us, and the boat's got an onboard hydraulic generator as well. So. It's dangerous. It scares me a lot, because basically what you have to do, you have to turn a handle which diverts the hydraulics from the engine, from the drive to the generator, and put it in reverse, so that you don't go in reverse anymore, but it drives the generator.
Step away.
There's no regulation on it.
So
you have to, like for the washing machine, you have to ramp the revs up to about 1400 and then you can't go over it, so you can't do it when you're going along. Well, you can't do it anyway, because obviously you need reverse. So it does work, and it's 4.6 kVA, so it's massive.
Excellent.
Stress out. Here's a great question from Claire. Have you made any plans for your garden yet? Yeah,
Yes, Claire. Yeah.
Lots of plans for the garden. Oh, so many. Yes, I'm really. We've cut the grass. I've got a couple of raised beds, and we've got a compost bin coming. So all lots of plants.
Nothing
so,
that's going to be able to, if we're not here, that can't be looked after.
Yeah, it'll all be fine. So after all that engine talk, I'm quite exhausted now.
It's a bit of a pun, exhaust. I like it.
Shall we leave it here? Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting. And I think the fact that you built your boat from scratch, effectively, you know, by getting the plans and getting the shell made, is such an interesting story. If anybody would like to check out your vlog, I will leave a link, wherever I can. I'll leave a link in this video and also in our weekly vlog as well.
And do subscribe, everybody. That would be lovely.
Do subscribe. Also, I have more podcast news. So yesterday, the very first episode that we recorded with Trev went up live on the actual podcast platform. So that's now available on Spotify, and soon it will be available on other podcast networks. So just if you're watching, the way it works is we record these live conversations, and then a couple of weeks later, they'll go onto the podcast platform. So, and I'll leave a link to that in the video and yeah, everywhere, basically. I'll link to that everywhere. So, thank you everyone for joining us. It's been lovely, as always, to have a chat with everyone as well. So all the best. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and being brave, letting us video you as well. Thank you so much
for having us. Thank you.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you for everybody for watching. Take care, everybody. Look after yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.